B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, January 9th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Siena, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we reached out to our social media followers and asked them what their goals for 2019 are. We'll also sit down with Mark Deppe, the head of esports at the University of California, Irvine. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about Ellie. A strange story has been circling around the Overwatch esports scene. There's been a lot of misinformation surrounding the story of Ellie, a supposed Overwatch contenders player who was harassed out of the league. At least that's where the story started.
Yeah, I'm going to try to take us through the events of what happened here because it's super confusing.
This is quite a ride.
Yes. Okay, so a Overwatch contenders team by the name of Second Wind announced that they had acquired a player, a female player, named Ellie, who would become the first female Overwatch contenders player.
Before you continue, when you say acquired, an announcement was made that this person was joining the team.
Correct.
But they were not signed.
Right.
Specifically, they were not signed yet. So that's very important.
Yeah, okay. Right. Very, very important to note. Now, my second question is, did Second Wind compete in the last season of Contenders?
Did Second Wind compete last season?
I believe they did.
Because they're a North American team,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. So Ellie,
yes,
was signed to this team.
Was acquired, yes.
Well, was supposedly, or
right.
It was announced, was acquired by the team.
Right.
And then some kind of red flags started to go up throughout the community.
So everyone suddenly, like, they couldn't find any information about who this person was.
Right.
Like, outside of, you know, their username, the supposed Ellie handle that they were going by.
Right. Even her account was, like, brand new. She was very low level.
Right. So it was very strange. So, and as the internet is want to do, they started getting very toxic. They got awful about her. They wanted to know, you know, find out who she was. They wanted to know what her name was. There was threats of doxing. There was harassment.
And also in the inverse, there were a lot of people who were very positive about this. The whole point is that there was a lot of pressure coming from both ends of the spectrum. The moment this person was announced as a part of Second Wind, people really sort of went into their camps,
right,
if you will.
Well, and because here's the headline that was circulated by no fewer than a few esports outlets,
right,
who said the first North American Overwatch female player has joined a contenders team.
Correct.
And so, that is a significant headline.
That would be a major moment.
Now, because a lot of discussion was had about female players or lack thereof, mm-hmm, in OWL.
There's still only
specific,
Gaguri.
There's only Gaguri currently in, yep, OWL. So this was looked at for a moment as something that was, you know, of interest. I don't know that anyone was putting any major significance behind it, but I think that there was at least in some circles, some celebrating that, hey, this is looking to be a little bit more inclusive.
Yeah.
This is a good thing. So the pressure got very bad on both sides, you know, positive and negative, and they got so bad.
And we got the announcement that Ellie had quit, and now at this point, because there's so much speculation about the identity of this person, and there is a little bit of investigation on what's going on with this person and their identity, there was more than a few possible answers,
yes,
that were,
yeah,
out there.
There were a lot of theories, you know.
There were
theories,
yes,
theories that this was, you know, somebody who simply was just posing as a different person, that it actually was a girl. Some people were saying that this was Dream Casper, who had been recently cut from Boston Uprising,
right,
for some really dubious reasons.
There was even rumors or even speculation that this may be someone who was transitioning and,
yep,
their identity they wanted to,
identify as female.
Yes.
And that is kind of what made the threats of doxing so insidious.
Right.
Because I do understand the natural inclination when someone has been, you know, joined to a team, the interest in who that person
is. You want to know about them.
If you're a fan of the league.
And that's your, I feel like that's your right as a supporter of a team.
Absolutely. Then what happens next is probably the most bizarre twist of the whole thing.
So after they quit, on January 4th, Aspen, another female streamer, comes out and says that Ellie isn't real and that a separate player named Punisher created the persona and used female gamers close to him as the voice of Ellie in chat.
Yes. So this comes out, and now the whole thing has gotten into crazy town.
Right.
And
so Punisher's name, his real name has not been made public, but they supposedly this was some sort of social experiment put together,
quote unquote.
That's how he's been putting it.
And this is after Blizzard and Second Wind have both come out and confirmed that Ellie's identity is not true. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City and 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. We're currently talking about the story of Ellie, probably one of the strangest stories in all of esports in the last couple of weeks. Certainly the strangest story in esports of 2019.
Yeah.
It turns out that Ellie is, in fact, not even a real person.
Right.
That this was a constructed identity for this person to what? To what end was this identity created?
How far were they actually going to get doing this? Eventually, you have to sit down in front of people and actually play.
But again, I've been seeing a lot of comment online and a lot of articles and think pieces written about this, about how somehow Second Wind shouldn't be looked at as the bad guy here. Anybody could have done this to Second Wind. I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that a team that's supposed to be in contenders and have a semblance of a structure didn't do their due diligence in following up and making sure somebody existed.
Second Wind said in a statement, they said, "We genuinely had no idea of what was to come, and at the time we underestimated how important it would be to set an example as the first team to take on a female player for contenders." Listen, first of all, then you guys are idiots if that's the case.
Yeah, you're totally tone deaf and you have no idea what's going on.
But what this story has really just said to me is that this was a failure at
every
level. It was a failure on the part of Second Wind to not do their due diligence. It was a failure on the journalists who first reported on this to not do their due diligence. It was a failure on the community for being toxic as all get out trying to figure out this person. All before we say it's a failure on the part of Punisher, who thought that this was a good idea. And Nate, as you said, to what end?
That's the most confusing part to me is I do not understand what the end game here
was.
But
the biggest thing out of all of it that comes out of this is, as usual, women lose out. Female gamers get the short end of the stick on this, because everybody's going to feel justified now when somebody announces a new female gamer to really be toxic pieces of crap towards them.
I mean, Gaguri had to literally prove that she wasn't cheating. Remember what?
By showing her hand movements as she played. Why? Like, who does that?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It's a ridiculous double standard, especially in the esports scene. And that's the really unfortunate part, is that this does lead credence to the idea of the next time there is a breakout female talent. Is she really even playing the game? That's an unfair assertion from the rip. And I think that's what really left a bad taste in my mouth. But listen, we want to hear from you. Do you agree with us? Was this just a failure on all levels? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with Mark Deppe. He's the head of esports over at the University of California, Irvine. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But next, we reached out to our social media followers to find out what their gaming goals and 2019 are. We'll share some of your responses as well as our own gaming goals for 2019. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
This is Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Make sure you visit our website over at checkpointxp.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Robbie, what's this week on the podcast?
Well, in honor of MAGFest, we're going to talk about some music, and this time it's which songs in video games have brought you to tears.
Subscribe and download free on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the Westwood One Podcast app from Westwood One Podcast Network. Everyone's listening. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram, so you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we ask what your gaming goals are for 2019, sort of like what your gaming New Year's resolution is. So before we get to your comments from social media, I kind of wanted to go around the room and ask what your, specifically gaming, I understand that there are probably some, you know, New Year's resolutions to get healthier or something. We don't care about those at all.
We already broke those.
Only related to video games. So, Norris, I'm going to start with you. What is your goal for 2019 for video games?
Oh, man. Probably play through the Resident Evil 2 remake without, like, you know what I'm saying?
Crying?
Peeing on myself.
You know what? I hope your brother comes in, locks the door, shuts off the lights on you.
That'd be great. That'd be
revenge.
Great.
That would be terrifying. That would be terrifying.
So that's pretty much it from me, man.
Really?
Your goal is going to be done by the end of the, like, next month.
I know, dude. There's not really too much else that I'm like super hyped off of.
Can I just say, I like that your goal is a sink or swim. Like, it's either going to get done or it's
or
not.
It ain't. Yeah,
That's true. Joe, how about you?
Well, having just bought a new house, I think my goal is going to be to get my new gaming studio set up and to stream more.
No, the answer is learn how to clean egg off the house.
Right, Norris is still committed to egging your house.
He said it had to be a gaming related thing. Cleaning egg off the house is not gaming related.
So, for your eventual game room studio, are you planning on doing any like painting? Are you planning on any artwork? Like, how are you decorating the thing? That's a key right there.
Right, so I'm unable to paint. I don't have that kind of ability. But, you know, definitely, we want some awesome stuff on the walls. We need to get some good soundproofing in there. I'm looking forward to actually having a legitimate space to do my next charity stream.
You're just saying you don't have the ability to paint?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that difficult.
Well, like, to paint, like, a picture or to, like, paint the walls a color? I can do that.
I mean, like, if you wanted to simple Pokeball design
that
on the wall.
I could probably manage that. You could probably pull that off.
You can get tape straight. Come on. I trust you to do that. Robbie, what about you?
Well, first of all, I'm looking forward to the episode we get to do where you HDTV his do-it-yourself studio. That's the first thing.
You're going to stream the work on all that studio, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. How would I do that?
For me, though, it's actually the same one that I had last year, which I failed. And what I'd like to do is each month of the year beat a new game that I have not beat before. Finishing games, especially when there's new ones coming out, has always been a big challenge of mine.
You are really bad at that.
What's on the docket for January?
I don't know. I'm making my way through Mass Effect. That doesn't count because I've already beat it before.
You're going to fail in the first month.
You know what? You said Undertale takes 6 hours.
It does.
Do that.
You can beat Undertale in 6 hours. Good call. That's a great game.
So my gaming New Year's resolution, of course, everyone knows how infatuated I've become with Fallout 76. It's got me to go back and play some of the games in the series. My goal is to have beaten at least Fallout 3 and 4 by the end of the year. Those are huge games, I understand. And if I get through those, I'm going to go for 1 and 2 as well.
Ooh, you can do that.
Yeah.
That's doable.
Have you seen Fallout 1 and 2?
I have. Because you get them for free if you had played Fallout 76 within the last year.
Yeah.
So I already own them. Yeah, they look a little bit rough. But I don't know. We'll see. Because, I mean, I've heard that they're amazing if you can get past some of their rough mechanics. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WSAI Cincinnati 1360, as well as Talk Radio 1360 KKBJ in Bemidji, Minnesota. Joining us to be the voice of the people is, of course, Sarah Skopic over at the news desk. And before we get into their responses, what about you? What's your gaming New Year's resolution?
Oh, gosh. I've been horrible as far as keeping up with games this year, which is bad because I have a YouTube channel called Sarah Skopic. So my resolution is just simply getting back onto that and actually keeping up to date with what is you know,
we don't hold you to that.
Yeah, that's right. That's potential content.
That's right.
Anyway, so yeah, make sure that you follow us. So let's get to some of your comments coming in at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram.
Over on Facebook, I feel this in my soul from Latif.
My goals for 2019 are to actually try to work through my game backlog, stream more, and reach at least affiliate status on Twitch.
Well, thank you, Dark Flux.
Thank you, Dark Flux, putting in 1,500 bits over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, running a little bit over our very first entry from social media. Sarah, back to you. What was that?
Sorry about that. I just wanted to say from Facebook by Latif, I feel this in my soul. To actually finish my backlog of games before buying any new ones, I reduced it down to 10 games so that with two daughters, that should take me like 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
10 games. I wish my backlog was anywhere near.
Dude, I feel like if I really went through my backlog, and because I feel like my backlog started back in the PlayStation 1 era.
Ooh.
Right? Like, if I really tallied up my backlog, it would be ridiculously huge.
Also over on Facebook, Steven says to win a solo game of Blackout.
That's a
really good goal. I mean, it's basically
PUBG,
like solo chicken dinner.
Chicken dinner, Fortnite, Victory Royale, or a Blackout win.
Possible.
Totally.
Yeah, it's possible,
so
but
long
definitely.
As you're better than Nate.
But maybe for anyone
you can circle Def your way into a win.
I mean, you could cheese it, but who wants to do that?
That's my first win in that game, I fired one bullet, and it was to kill the last person.
Over on Twitter, we have Arnesk that says, my goal is to finally 100% a few of these great RPGs I finally managed to buy.
I'm so against 100%.
I can't.
Anything.
I used to do that when I was like 13. I can't do that anymore.
There's no point. I don't want to run around and collect all the doves,
especially
and all that type of
all the doves.
Especially in
stuff.
RPGs. The last one that, what was it, in Zelda Breath of the Wild, where you had to go around and collect.
Man.
I just started playing
the
Breath
Kaporos.
Of the Wild.
No. You collect the Kaporos or whatever, and you get Golden Poo as a reward.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, what a reward. Yay.
Over on Instagram, we have Ugly Christmas, which says, get 100 Fortnite wins.
A hundred.
Well, that's upping the ante a bit.
Say, yeah. Seriously,
when you're playing against 6-year-olds, I mean,
that must be someone who's very confident in their Fortnite skills, right there.
Over on Instagram, I think we all feel this. Some Beardy to Love says streaming more.
Okay, That's my B. You know, my point two
is to stream more. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
I got to tie that one in with building my streaming studio, so that worked out.
Yeah. All right, Sarah, one more.
Looking back at Instagram, Agaric07 says, now that Final Fantasy 14 is not dominating my free time, clean up that console backlog.
There you go. A lot of backlog comments here.
It's an easy go-to.
I feel like this is going to be a backlog year, too, because not a lot of the big, you know,
that's
drops
right.
are on this year.
You know,
so.
that's a really good point.
Figuring out the backlog is that I'm going to lose weight of gaming resolution.
You know, I kind of feel you on that
though.
One. Yeah, yeah, it's a little bit of a cop-out. All right, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but make sure you follow us on social media so you can make your voice heard on next week's question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Ahead next, we'll be joined by Mark Deppe, the head of esports over at the University of California, Irvine. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 AM and 95.9 FM and 103.9 in Lexington, Kentucky. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com to subscribe to our growing offering of podcasts. Follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP to join the show live, or connect with us on social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on on Instagram. Over the next four episodes of Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to take a listen to interviews we collected that intersect esports and education. So let's take a listen to our conversation with Mark Deppe. He's the director of esports at the University of California, Irvine. We spoke to him as a part of Checkpoint XP's college campus tour during our visit to UCI.
Well, we are so happy to be here in the esports arena. You know, we talked to you early on when you guys were, you know, looking for sponsors. You just secured iBuyPower, and it's really cool to hear so much about a place and then get to come see it in person. And I think what you guys have set up here is really remarkably revolutionary for esports and for education. It's really cool.
And it started out like the space that you're in used to be like a pool hall. What was it like watching that transformation, watching this arena like be born?
Yeah, I've been on campus for 8 years, and we had walked by this space for years, never come in. And it was, like you said, a billiard hall with some Xboxes. And if you walked in, you'd see about four people playing on the nine pool tables and all the Xboxes full. So
that tells you something right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And so, yeah, when we had this idea, we needed a space for it. And we thought this was an underutilized space. And when we got permission to transform it, we just started to envision what a great esports space could look like. And then watching it transform was pretty magical.
And speaking of, you know, best collegiate esports program, you've been here for 8 years and you've really gotten to see this program kind of get to where it's at. What has that process been like from what started as just, you know, a couple of small esports clubs on campus to now one of the, or the best esports program in the country?
Well, it's been a lot of hard work, and there's been a million people involved. We wouldn't be here without the successful student clubs that existed before us. I know you've been talking to some of the student leaders. So their predecessors set this culture on campus and created the momentum. And yeah, a few of us saw the opportunity a few years ago. Robert Morris had just started their program, and we thought we had an even more compelling case with our great computer game design program. So much of the industry in Southern California are elite competitive teams, and just kind of an entrepreneurial, innovative spirit on campus, and all those things combined to create this primordial ooze of factors that allowed us to build what we built.
Mm-hmm. Now, esports is continuing to boom, and it's not going to stop, both at the pro, the collegiate, the high school level now as well. People are going to start following suit. How do you guys plan to stay ahead of the curve so that, you know, at the next Tempest Awards, you take home that same title twice in a row?
Well, I would say we're doing two things. One is we want to help other people get in this space. So we actively share our original business plan, our first year budget, our arena layout, our staffing plan. We're trying to help grow the ecosystem, allow more people to create programs. But we do want to stay the best. So we're happy to share with people what we've done up to this point. We've been around. We've had the arena open for 2 years. We've had scholarship teams for 2 years. And I think you've seen esports 1.0. But I think in the next 12 months, you'll see what our vision is for the next 5 to 7 years. And I think that will set us even farther ahead of folks than where we are. I think we're thinking bigger than most people are. Our version you see today is not our final form. And we're going to keep building and growing and find more space, more resources to stay ahead of the curve.
You know, there's a whole generation of kids out there coming up through middle school and high school now that are sitting down and really starting to have that inner conversation with themselves of what they want to do in the future. And, I mean, when we were in high school, the option of go get a scholarship for playing video games was not available. Not that any of us were good enough anyway, but this whole generation of kids is having to make the decision between, do I want to try to go pro? Do I want to maybe try and make a career on Twitch? Do I want to go to college? What is it like for these kids, and like, how do you help, you know, guide these kids along?
Well, when we talk to people, just emailing back and forth with a high-ranked Overwatch player, and he's like, should I go to college to play Overwatch, or should I pursue the Open Division, try to get into Overwatch League? And it really comes down to what your goals are. A lot of people think, and I would agree, that if you want to play professionally at the highest level, college is probably not the optimal way to get your skill set there. You should probably find some coaching, play on some great teams, and play a lot of the game.
Sure.
If you want to optimize maybe life success and have a backup plan, play the game you love while also getting a scholarship and earning a degree, I think college is a great place. We will have players that go professional for sure that come out of this program. But I think it depends on what your goals are and if your parents and your future, well, if your parents are on your back a little bit, if you really want to think about life after the game, because you're not going to make enough right now to right. live off of, I think college is a great role for that. So it depends on what people want. And we're happy to get people on their way to their pro career or after their professional career. We just want people to make the choice that makes sense for them.
I found that to be a remarkably interesting commonality between a lot of the folks that we've been talking to, you know, and asking what's the difference between collegiate esports and going straight into pro, and what's the impetus there. And I think that, you know, what we've seen a lot of is that, you know, there are a lot of people who have ambition outside of esports, but this is a way to help them pay for school, right? Like, if you're skilled at something, maybe you don't have any intention on playing professional football, but if you're skilled at it and it'll help you pay for school, it will, and it, at the end of the day, help you reach your end destination. And I think that having esports and video games as an option out there for those that are, I don't know, like myself, maybe a little less athletically inclined, is actually a really good option, and something that takes just as much dedication and just as much perseverance and, you know, the ability to stick to it as sports does. And I think that those are incredibly important lessons for people at this stage of life in their early 20s, their late teens, their early 20s, to be learning. That was something that I felt took me until 27, 28 to learn for myself. And I think that that's a really good opportunity that the esports program represents.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about our scholarship players, but our program has five pillars that we focus on. So competition's obviously one. We found a lot of success there. We also focus on academics and research, and you'll see that a lot with our conference the next 2 days. We want to be the heart of conversation around esports, video games, human-computer interaction, all that cool stuff. We focus on community stuff. So you know we have a great relationship with our community, our clubs. We're trying to tackle some of the social issues in esports. Fourth pillar is entertainment, so we're creating content, events, and fifth one's about careers and getting students into the jobs that they want. So, yes, we do focus on competition, and that's kind of what draws a lot of the eyeballs and the attention, but anybody affiliated with our program can dabble in all of those or any of those, and we're definitely trying to think, how do we create success for these young people?
Totally.
Like the student affairs kind of mindset of, like, the holistic learning out of classroom experience, how do we create a great environment? So, that's what we're all about, and while the scholarships and the competition might keep the lights on and get the sponsors interested, I think a lot of people look at our program and think the other stuff adds all the value, the research and the community and effort. So we're very proud of everything we do.
Yeah, and I want to hang on that fifth pillar, the education pillar, here for just a second, because it's not just big banks of computers that you've got here in the esports arena. You've got shoutcasting areas. You know, there's more to the esports scene than just sitting down and playing some video games. And I think that, you know, between everything that you guys do here, looking for students to help staff the arena here, as well as, all of the different areas that you guys are active in within esports, in the esports arena here on UCI's campus, I think that that all really works to set the next generation of esports fans and professionals up for something that is way bigger, way more wide reaching, and hits a bigger audience than esports is already in 2018. And I think that that's an immensely laudable goal.
Well, thanks. And yeah, if you look at our teams, we'll have two varsity teams, 23 total scholarship players, but we'll have almost 70 or 80 people on payroll this year when it comes to student staff, full-time staff.
That's amazing. That's an opportunity,
yes,
for each one of those people to add something to their resume. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be your casters, your production people, your content creators, our scholarship players, team managers, analysts, coaches, all those folks that surround the competitive side.
Yeah.
We work closely with the Ducks hockey team, and they have 20 players on the bench, but for any given day, they have 1,000 people working in their building.
Yeah.
And so we want to build that whole ecosystem, all the people around esports, not just the people on the stage.
I think you're going to need a bigger arena.
I'm down. Yeah, that's esports 2.0. We're trying to find more space. We have 5 full-time staff and 3 desks for us. So we're definitely outgrowing our space. We have 3,000 to 4,000 monthly paying customers in here. So it's really a well-utilized space, but we think there's more potential, and with some more resources, we can do even more.
Maybe something with some seating, some stands for the crowd to come in and watch?
Maybe. I think there's a lot of event spaces for that kind of stuff on campus right now. I think we're looking at high-performance space. We're looking at training facilities. We're looking at office space, conference room space. If our students want to study, we have to go rent a room for them to have a little study hall. So it'd be just nice to have some flexible space. We could do lots of stuff. And I think like investing in our production facility would be great too. Everything in here is very public. You can walk up and touch players when they're practicing. You could you could go stare at the shoutcasters while they're casting. So a little bit more private kind of facility would be what we're looking for.
And yet at the same time, it is very cool as a fan first to be able to come in and to be able to see, you know, the casters doing their work behind the desk and get an idea of what that kind of setup actually looks like. For most people, you don't really know what goes into the on-screen performance. All you know is what you literally see coming through the, you know, the Twitch stream or the TV. It is very cool to be able to see what that actually looks like.
Yeah, and I think we want to keep the space pretty similar to how it operates now, and I think it would be more casual and club-centric. Our clubs use our casting desk all the time every week for their weekly stream, so I don't think we change much about the space. I think we would just add some more facilities to do the high-end stuff in a little bit better area.
Thanks again to Mark for his time. For more info on the UCI eSports program, visit esports.uci.edu. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on eSports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on eSports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley eSports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.